Today on the Pastor Study, we're going to continue our series on great doctrines of the Bible. Today I will be discussing with you the doctrine of temptation. Let's turn together in the Word of God to James chapter 1, and let's look together at James chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Here's what the Word of God says. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Let me give you a bit of an introduction on our doctrine of temptation. Now, temptation is an experience that is common to all Christians. It seems some are tempted more than others, but none escape. Many even question their salvation for the many temptations they face. There is confusion on the meaning of temptation. In the Old Testament, almost invariably, it means trial or tribulation. Temptation is also the lusts of the flesh, drawing us away from our standards, convictions, and commandments. Temptation is an opportunity for God to prove himself to us and for us to prove ourselves to him. There's a great verse in scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse number 13 on temptation. Let's read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I'm just going to read it now. Let's read it together. Later on, we'll look at it again in a little bit more detail. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, let me give you some observations about temptation. Temptation can destroy a freshly planted seed. And of course, in the scriptures, the Word of God is often referred to as the seed or a seed. Looking in Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 8 with me, in verse number 13, the Word of God says this. And of course, here we have the parable of the sower of the seed. We're told in verse 11 of Luke 8, now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. So we see temptation can destroy the Word of God when it's freshly planted in the heart of man. We also see another observation. Prayer can head off temptation. Prayer can head off temptation. Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, in verse number 46. And here we are the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples here in Luke 22, verse 46, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So here our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is telling the disciples and telling us that prayer can head off temptation. And then we're also told that the devil is the tempter. The devil is the tempter. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3. Here we have Jesus after his beginning of his earthly ministry, after he was baptized at the hands of John the Baptist, that he's led of the Spirit up into the wilderness to be tempted. And then we read in verse 3 of Matthew 4, and when the tempter came to him, amen, when the tempter came to him, and of course the tempter is none other than the devil. Now, another observation about temptation. Your victory and my victory through Christ in temptation is a measure of our faith. Let me say that again. Your victory and my victory through Christ in temptation is a measure of our faith. 1 Thessalonians with me. Chapter number 3. Verse number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means a tempter, again we identify the tempter as the devil, have tempted you and our labor be in vain. So Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. He said he sent, amen, Timotheus, Timothy, to see, he wanted to know about their faith, how strong they were in their faith, amen. And the measurement of that faith is their victory through Christ in temptation, amen. Now let's look at some sources of temptation. Sources of temptation. First of all, we can emphatically say that God is not a source of temptation. James chapter 1. We began with James chapter 1 in our study on temptation. But in James chapter 1, let's look at verse 13 together. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Now here it is. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God is certainly not a source of temptation. But Satan is. Satan is a source of temptation. We just read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, that the tempter came to Christ there in the wilderness to tempt him. And then, of course, we see he came to Adam and Eve in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, and tempted Eve. And she submitted to the temptation and gave into it. Amen. But the source of the temptation was Satan. Another source of temptation is the flesh. The flesh. Again, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And of course, that's the flesh. The flesh is a source of temptation. Not only the flesh is a source of temptation, but also evil companions. Evil companions can be a source of temptation. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 with me. And in Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If sinners entice thee, in other words, if sinners tempt you, amen. Evil companions tempt you, amen. Consent not. Psalm 1, verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man. Listen. The man that is blessed. Listen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's an evil companion. Nor sitteth in the way of sinners. Evil companions. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Again, evil companion. So evil companions are a source of temptation. Also, believe it or not, Christian friends. In fact, Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Look at Matthew chapter 16 with me. Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 23. From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So here's Jesus showing clearly to his disciples the events that are going to happen soon concerning himself, his death, his burial, and resurrection. Now verse 22. Then Peter took Jesus, in other words, and began to rebuke him, and saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Can you believe that? Peter actually rebuked the Lord and said, the things that you said are not going to happen, are not so. But he turned, the Lord turned, and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. See, Peter was savoring, more interested in the things that concern men, things that be of men and not of God. Amen. Let's look at reasons for temptation. Reasons for temptation. My dear friend, life is a series of crossroads, a series of choices. And choices are usually made on the basis of habit. Temptation is a proving ground. Amen. Choice is exercised. Amen. If you think about it, the choice is either to give in to the temptation or not to give in to it. Amen. Let's look at the circuit of temptation, the things involved, you know, the steps. First, you have the thought stimulation. You know, the thing is presented. You have two thoughts, you know. Consideration about the thing. And then there's the actual temptation. Amen. And then the choice, either to do the temptation, give in to it, or not give in to it. The act. Amen. The habit. See, if you give in to the temptation, you make the choice to go to do it, that's the act, and then it becomes a habit. And then what happens? It becomes a spiritual stronghold over you. And then before you know it, you come under demonic control. You're saved, amen. You're born again. Your soul is safe, amen, but not your flesh. Your flesh can come under demonic control. You see, our love for God is proven through testing. Amen. Let's look at James again, chapter 1. James chapter 1 with me. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's an interesting verse, is it not? To count it all joy when we fall into all kinds or diverse temptations. Why? Why should we count it all joy? Knowing this, okay, this is not a secret, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So to have, to fall into temptation, amen, to have our faith tried, worketh patience. So there's something good, a profitable, that comes out of being tempted. We're proven, we're tested. We show that we love God more than the things of this world, more than our wicked flesh. Look at in James, excuse me, Peter, 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith, amen. And that's what's on trial when you're being tempted. The trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perisheth. And the reason for that is, when the Lord returns, amen, when the Lord returns and you've gone through the trial of your faith and not given into temptation, you're going to be praised and honored and glorified at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You're going to receive praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, one of the greatest accounts of being tested of God in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 22, and you read the story of Abraham, and you remember how difficult it was for he and Sarah, his wife. They were without children. God promised Abraham a physical seed from him and Sarah. And of course, that's exactly what happened. Abraham was 100 years old, Sarah was 90, and they had Isaac. And what did God try or test Abraham? How did he do that to prove his love? Well, in Genesis chapter 22, God tells Abraham to take Abraham's only son, Isaac, up to Mount Moriah to sacrifice him. And that's exactly what Abraham did. He took his son, his only son, who he loved very much, his physical heir, and he did exactly what God said. And just as he was to raise the knife to plunge it into his son, God stopped him. He was proven. He was tested. His faith was tested. And he proved that God was number one in his life. Amen. Because he was going to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Because God told him to do it. Amen. Now let's look at the limitations on temptation. The limitations. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We read that verse earlier, but let's read it again and then spend a little bit of time looking at that verse for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. See, now, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. So, what the Word of God is saying here, whatever you're being tempted with wasn't concocted or made up especially just for you. Other men, other women have been tempted the same way or with the same thing. That's why he says it's common. Others have been tempted with this same thing. So this temptation wasn't specially made up for you or I, amen. But we see here in this verse that God sets a time limit on the temptation. Not only that, but God arranges the timing. God allows the pressure of the temptation. But he also limits the pressure. And thank God, God is faithful. Because he makes a way to escape. He gives us an escape hatch. But with the temptation, also make a way to escape, ye may be able to bear it. See? He makes a way for you to escape, to get out of that thing. But oftentimes, when a Christian gets in his sin, he's not looking for the way to escape it, amen? The temptation. He's enjoying it. But God has promised, he's faithful. God is faithful, first of all, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. He limits the pressure. He limits the time of the temptation. And will make a way to escape the temptation so you and I can bear it. See, Christians have a habit of reclaiming the problems once delivered to the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's look at the methods. The methods of temptation. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. So here we have four things from Proverbs 30, verses 7 and 9. Methods of temptation. The first one is poverty. Poverty. He says, give me neither poverty nor riches. So you have poverty is a method of temptation. Riches or prosperity is a method of temptation. And he goes on, feed me with the food convenient for me. So we have poverty, prosperity, worldly glory, and discouragement. See? He says, lest I be full and deny thee. See? Worldly glory. And say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Discouraged. Sounds like someone who is very discouraged would do. So methods of temptation, poverty, prosperity, world glory, discouragement. So we've seen today that temptation is an experience that is common to all Christians. Some Christians are tempted more than others. We see the sources of temptation. First of all, God doesn't tempt us. Satan is a source of temptation. Evil companions can be a source of temptation. And the flesh. Certainly the unsaved flesh can be a source of temptation. And we saw even Christian friends. And we saw that the reasons for temptation, life is a series of crossroads, a series of choices. Choices are usually made on the basis of habit. Temptation is a proving ground where choice is exercised. And then we saw how God puts a limit on temptation. Amen. God sets a time limit, He arranges the timing, and God allows the pressure. He limits the pressure, and He makes a way to escape. And so when we're tempted, we need to turn it over to Him and look for the way to escape. I still have some more things that I want to discuss about this great doctrine of temptation, and we'll take up this discussion next time we're on the Pastor Study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.